Amen. Let us continue in that spirit of prayer. Holy Spirit, may you be the one that is guiding us and directing us and filling our lives. Let us become more aware of your presence. You're welcome here in this place, in this place. God, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for your presence and for your guidance, your influence. God, I ask as always that you speak through me and in spite of me, that my words might contain your truth. God, help us to open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds to what you have to say to us today. God, we love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What a joy it is to be with you, and greetings to all those that are watching online with us, wherever you may be, whichever camera you may be at. So glad that you're here joining us and with us this morning. It's been such a beautiful time for myself and for our family. We've just been falling in love with getting to know folks and meeting folks, and so it's just that season. So many first impressions, and they've all been so good. These first impressions that we get of one another, and we've been talking about first impressions in our scripture as well. The disciples meeting Jesus for the first time, and we've been in John's gospel talking about that. I had so much excitement. I was sharing with a colleague of mine, the Reverend Paul Escamilla, came for a visit. We went out to lunch this past week, and I showed him around the sanctuary and different places at Colonial Hills, at Chelmsea, and when he was leaving, he looked over and sensed my excitement and my joy, and he said, "Dan, it's like Christmas here." And little did he know that the whole plan for this next week and the theme is Christmas in July. He had no idea, didn't see any Christmas decorations. He just sensed that joy, that excitement that something's being born here, that this beautiful thing is happening. It was so exciting to see. And he was right. It feels like Christmas morning on Sunday morning. I just couldn't wait to get here, and just this time is such a joy. We're in John's gospel this morning again, and we're talking about influence this morning. The remarkable importance of influence. John the Baptist was very influential, and the disciples that followed him, well, they believed him when he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And so they began to follow Jesus. Last week, we remembered that Jesus turned around and saw them following and asked, "What is it that you seek?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where do you abide?" Now, they were looking for a rabbi in him. There is such a respect behind that term. They wanted to learn whatever he would teach them. They wanted to receive whatever he would give. They wanted to listen to whatever he would say and see whatever he would do and then put that into practice. That is what a disciple does. So they went where he was staying and they spent the day with them. It was about 4 in the afternoon. We pick up our scripture right there this week. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. This is God's word for us today, and we say, thanks be to God. Little did Andrew realize how significant it would be. For the first thing he did was to bring Peter to Jesus. And maybe when you're reading this, one of the first questions that you might have is what do we know about Andrew? Andrew he's called the Protocleus, the Protocletus is a way of remembering that. It's the first called. He was the first one. He and the other disciple. And the other disciple, I think, is a way of the story kind of including us. Maybe we are that other disciple. Or maybe the other disciple is the writer of the Gospel of John, or the one that inspired that community. And so if you have Andrew bringing Peter to Jesus, who did the other disciple bring to Jesus? Well, the answer is maybe us, because he's writing all this. So I think it's really exciting to see both of them sharing this good news about Jesus and the influence behind that. Well, Andrew has another big line in the Gospels. One other time, it's in John 6, where Andrew finds the little boy with the fish and the bread, and he somehow makes friends with that kid and takes his lunch to Jesus, and Jesus multiplies it and all are fed. Other than that, we don't know a whole lot about Andrew. We know that he was martyred. He died about 60 AD, and he was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Greece. And the Scottish took that as the symbol because of St. Andrew, and that's the where they get the X on the flag, the saltieri is what it's called. And we know that about Andrew, but what we really remember about Andrew is that he's the one that first thing he did when he realized that this rabbi who he began to follow was more than just the teacher, that this was the Messiah. And you can even see it in our scripture today where he goes and says, "Rabbi, we want to know where you abide," to, "We have found the Messiah, the Christ." Something happened in that time that he spent with Jesus. That's what we know about Andrew. We know so much more about Peter. You don't even have to really be in church to know about Peter. He is the larger-than-life disciple, the ringleader, quick to speak, very impulsive. He's the rock, Jesus said. You are the rock on which we build the church. I will build my church. Peter also denied Jesus three times, we remember, and then he went back to fishing. Jesus shows up at the very end of John's gospel. He says to Peter, "If you love me, feed my sheep." And then when the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, it is Peter who stands up with the strength of the Holy Spirit, and he speaks to the crowds, and he delivers a sermon, and so influential because of the Holy Spirit that 3,000 people come to Christ and the church is born. The world would never be the same. The remarkable importance of influence. It's the same for you and me. Sometimes we are influenced in ways that we shouldn't be. Sometimes we're influenced in ways that are accidental. I know that I am right here today because of a conversation that happened to me in North Carolina. I'll tell you how it happened. I wanted to play folk music. I wanted to be a singer, folk singer. I went to school at Appalachian State University, and there was a radio station that would come on, WNCW, out of Spindale. And there were folk musicians that would come on there, and I wanted to sing songs like they did. And there was one that I really liked. His name was Chuck Brodsky. Chuck Brodsky. You can look him up. He's still playing music. He's a wonderful folk singer, Chuck Brodsky. And I sought out Chuck, and I went to a concert. And after the concert, I remember we're standing there in the beautiful mountains of North Carolina. And I said, Chuck, I love your songs. You're just one of my very favorites. And I wanted to sing songs like you and play music like you do. How do I do it? How would I go about it? What's the next thing for me? And he said, are you serious about it? And I said, yes. And he said, well, there is a folk festival in Kerrville, Texas that you got to go to. And because it was Chuck telling me this, I said, okay, I'll make plans to do that. I had never thought about Texas as a destination. Outside of Austin, which they told me was pretty cool, I had no idea about Texas. Tumbleweeds going by? I don't know. That's kind of what I thought in North Carolina. I had no idea. And yet Chuck Brodsky said, go to Texas. And so I did. That one little conversation changed my life forever. My whole timeline shifted. My wife I would meet here, my calling to ministry I would receive here, everything shifted. And Chuck, he didn't know. He tells that to everybody. Go to Kerrville. You'll love it, you know. I didn't know that. I've heard him say that to other people. But that one little thing influenced me so much that would change everything. And I think that's true for all of us. We are all, I don't know if you know the movie Back to the Future. Our parents all had to meet at the Fish Under the Sea dance, or else that picture of us would be fading into nothing. You know, I think of my kids. My daughter's always lifting her leg as high as she can. I don't know how she does it. And I think if I had not met Maria in that coffee shop, her leg would be fading out of the picture. Slowly, I'd have to go back and we'd have to meet. You know, how remarkable this influence that we have on one another. And I wonder who it was for you that gave you some that influenced you in some way that led from there to here. Or who saw something in you that they wanted to just encourage and bring out, and it just meant the world to you. I remember on my walk to Emmaus retreat, it was Pastor Lonnie Phillips who looked at me and he said, you know, you look like a youth director. I don't know why he said that. Was it the way I was dressed or something in me? I don't know. I applied for the job as youth director at his church 3 weeks later. And I said, you said I look like a youth director. Do I look like First United Methodist Church's youth director? And sure enough, that power that we have of influence, and what if we're intentional about it? That's why I think church is so important, that we make this promise at our baptism, and it's reaffirmed over and over, that we will be people that follow Jesus, that we will be people who renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness. And I wanted to say that too, because there are so many influences that are not good. And when you're a parent, I've said this before, I'll say it again, it's like taking your heart and ripping it out and watching it run away. And you say, good luck, little buddy. I hope you have good influences out there on your screens and on your tablets. I hope you meet people that will lead you in the way that leads to life. That is, I hope you meet people that are intentional about influencing you in good ways. Amen? Yeah. I hope you meet people that have renounced the spiritual forces of wickedness. When we learned that we were moving to Colonial Hills, that we were coming here, I had an assurance, felt very peaceful on my heart that we, all of us, all of you, all of us, would meet people that would become lifelong friends, that we would meet people that would be people that follow Jesus, People that embody the Holy Spirit of the living God. We were counting on it. And sure enough, here you are. There you are. And what a joy it is to see. I think of someone that's been very influential on me, and that's Pastor Lupina Stewart. And when it comes to renouncing the spiritual forces of wickedness, she influenced me. What I heard her do is she would go into the schools when her kids would get a new teacher. She would go into the schools, and I don't know if she'd say it under her breath or out loud. She'd probably say it out loud. And she said, if there is a spirit in here that is not of you, God, I cast it out in the name of Jesus. Has that authority to cast out the spiritual forces of wickedness. And then she would say this, may your spirit be the one that is guiding us. May your spirit be the one that is leading us. And she threw that little one in there. Did you hear that? I didn't ever say it that way. I would always say, may your spirit lead us. May your spirit guide. No, may your spirit be the one that is guiding us. As if to say, there are whole lots of other spirits, a whole lot of other things that you could listen to. It's our job as people who follow Jesus, who are influenced by Jesus. We have this wonderful parable in it's a proverb, actually, Proverb 22. It says this, it says, Proverbs 22, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. We sang it this morning. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. And for me, that's something that I need to remember and sing on a daily basis. But for me, I am a very heady person. And so in my mind, when I heard that song this morning, I'm also thinking, in my thoughts too, maybe the hearts and the heads are connected, but I want to be a Christian in my mind. Because my thoughts sometimes are not what they always should be. I want to be a Christian in my thoughts. And I'm reminded of a proverb. It's not in the Bible. It's by a Asian philosopher Lao Tzu, and he says, "Be careful of your thoughts, because from your thoughts come your words. Be careful of your words, for from your words come your actions. Be careful of your actions, because your actions form habits. Be careful of your habits, because your habits form your character. Be careful of your character, for your character leads to your destiny." I remember the Apostle Paul giving us this advice as well, as he seeks to follow Christ and to fix his mind on these things that are life-giving. He says it like this. He says, finally, the end of Philippians, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. It's one of my very favorite verses to remember, but it has a way of overshadowing the next verse, and I want us to pay attention to the next verse too, because this is Paul being very intentional here. He says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So many times I hear about ways that the people have been influenced poorly. And I think this is something that I have to think about daily, our influence on our kids in ways that we wouldn't want them to be influenced. I am looking forward to getting to know all of you and the influence that we have on one another just by knowing one another. It's a powerful thing. Because those impressions that we get, they've been so good, those first impressions. They're so important. But what's really more important than a first impression is a lasting one. And so we pray that in our time together as a church, we get to make these lasting impressions upon one another as we follow the influence of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may our prayer continue to be, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. God, may your Holy Spirit be the one that is guiding us and leading us into whatever you have for us in the future. And God, help us to remember to be intentional as we form the character that you have called us to be. And as we step into the destiny that you have for us. God, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for this lasting impression that you have made on our hearts and on our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.